Welcome back, guys, to the Espresso presentation Across the Goal. I think this is going to be one of our most important shows that we've done to date. So let's take a look at some of the things. So you notice Coach got us a new board here. Every coach has to have a board, right? So let's start with a series. What is it? It's the power of the Spirit. And we're going to be dealing and focusing on the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit. We're going to have 6 episodes in here, so we'll get a wonderful chance to teach in this. First series will be Spirit of the Living God. The Spirit is alive in us men. Secondly, we're going to do with the Spirit of Truth. We don't follow a false God. We have a true God that we follow. Third episode will be Salvation through the Spirit. Our path to salvation is through the Holy Spirit. Fourth, the gifts and fruits of the Spirit. All of us have a variety of gifts, all of them a gift from God. So we will talk about that. And then the next show, number 5, is cooperate with the Spirit. We can't stymie the Spirit. We let the Spirit work in our life. And then finally, the 6th episode is Come Holy Spirit. We're going to pray that the Spirit renews in our life. Let's find out in Scripture what the Lord has to say about this. In Acts, you see it right here, Acts 1:8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So powerful that is. Now, let's talk about our first series. Our first series is going to be the Spirit of the Living God. And in John, let's go to take a look in the Scripture, see what the Lord has to say. 6:63, "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." That's what it is. Now let's talk about the guest that's going to be on the show. First of all is Peter Herbig. You know Peter, Vice President of Renewal Ministries. Next is our special guest, Father Larry Richards, our friend. He's an author. He speaks all over the country. He's such a powerful thing with men all over the world. Let's just give him a wonderful hand, and we'll be back in a few minutes after a break, and these guys are going to get into the game plan about Spirit of the Living God.
About the faith sharing groups that we have is that there's an environment there that men can find an element of trust and where they can open up and they can love and be loved. But more importantly, they also are held accountable. One of the things that we always talk about is iron sharpens iron. And when you open up to another guy, then you kind of invite him to hold you to it.
Welcome back to Crossing the Goal. I'm Peter Herbeck, and we're here in the game plan. Really, the game plan for the first time with Father Larry. I couldn't wait for this to happen.
It's heaven on earth. Yeah.
Father, way to go, man. Yeah, this is great.
Pagan, don't hit him. Very sensitive.
You should never hit a priest. There's something
you're
wrong
with that. You're going to hell for sure.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Well, here we are, Father. We're doing this special on the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And every one of us is called to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, the Holy Spirit is the forgotten person of the Trinity for many of us, right? So tell us, who is the Holy Spirit? Let's start at the beginning.
Sure. Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit is part of the Holy Trinity, huh? And it's the part of God, if you will, the one God who lives inside of us and the life giver. From the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "The wind swept over the chaos." And the wind is the same word we get for spirit. It's ruah in the Hebrew. And so from the very beginning, it's the Spirit of God who gave life to creation. And then he takes, and how does he give Adam life? By taking and putting his mouth over the nostrils of Adam and breathing the breath of life, again, that ruah into him. So the Spirit's the exact entity that gives us life for all eternity, the God of the universe. And then, of course, he comes through throughout the Old Testament, speaking to us through the prophets. And the Spirit has been there from the very beginning. And from the very beginning, it's the Spirit who gives us life. So there's no life without the Spirit.
Yeah, and we see the transition where you talk about the Spirit at creation. Mm-hmm. And then the prophetic tradition of Israel comes. They start talking about the coming of the Messiah.
Yep.
And the Messiah is the one who's going to be anointed with the Holy Spirit, anticipating. So Jesus becomes that person. He's the Messiah who's anointed by the Spirit. And what would you say, where do you see that being manifested in Jesus' life?
Especially at Mark 1:1:1. Mark chapter 1, verse 11. I say, memorize it for the rest of your life. Mark chapter 1, verse 11. The Spirit comes upon him at baptism, and the Father says, you are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And so from that moment, his whole ministry begins at his baptism when the Holy Spirit comes upon him in his humanity.
And there's a merger, there's a coming together of the Spirit and the Son in a common mission for the salvation of the world. And the Spirit moves Jesus. This is a dynamic of the Holy Spirit, and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives.
Absolutely.
When we receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit moves us into the mission the Lord has given to us. So it says, after his baptism, the Spirit leads him where? Leads him into the desert.
Exactly.
What does he do? Leads him right into warfare, right
exactly.
into a battle with the devil. And he takes on the kingdom of darkness right away. And then after that battle in the desert, the Spirit moves him to Nazareth, where he makes that famous proclamation of Isaiah. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, to obtain sight for the blind, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor. So Jesus is the man, Jesus is the one moving in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that anointing takes him to Calvary. Father, what does Calvary, Jesus' death and resurrection, have to do with the Spirit's work in our life, that transition?
Remember, Jesus says in John's Gospel, it's better that I go or the Spirit would not come upon you. But when I go, I will send the Spirit upon you. And then later, right before he leaves, before he gives the ascension, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you will be my witnesses. So this is the very birth of the church, is when God gives us his Spirit, his power, the power of his love, the power of his, everything in the Godhead, he gives to us in the Holy Spirit so that we can then be his presence in the world and bring witnesses to him.
And the gift of the Spirit, or Jesus calls it the promise. In Luke, he said, I will give to you the promise of the Father. The Bible talks about that. It means the Father promises to save the human race, to bring us from death to life by giving us the gift of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's made possible by Jesus' death on the cross. Mm-hmm. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross, Father, for us to be able to receive the Spirit?
So that we can be part of the whole life of God. You know, that's the whole thing, that he had to die for our sins to set us free, so now we can receive the fullness of God's Holy Spirit. But in our sinfulness, we can't receive the Spirit as God wants to give it. So Jesus had to die to redeem us, to set us free.
And Jesus' end game on going to Calvary is to destroy all those things that separate us from God and from God's life, cleansing us, making it possible for us to be able to receive the Holy Spirit.
It brings us eternal life.
Yeah, and so really Christianity is all about, I think Pope Benedict said at one point just a few years ago, he said that the whole purpose of Jesus' coming was to pour out the promise, was to pour out the Holy Spirit. So we could share in God's life and we could engage in the great commandment, the Great Commission, which the Lord sends us all to do.
Absolutely. And that's at the core of all spiritual life, is that surrender to the Holy Spirit. It's that receiving of the Spirit so that we can truly be the instrument of God on this earth.
Now, for many people, the whole idea of the Holy Spirit seems very vague and amorphous, almost like the Force, you know, in Star Wars or something like that. The Force, and how do I tune into the Force?
That's a good analogy. I don't know if it's liturgically correct theologically. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a good analogy, yeah. But is it possible to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, Father?
Well, of course. In fact, it's the Spirit that gives us relationship with the Father and the Son. Remember, it says in the Word of God that we do not know how to pray as we ought. So what happens? The Spirit prays within us. So when God tells us, it's the Spirit. Like, the best way I like to explain is when we make the sign of the cross, the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. When we talk about that, just call it the Holy Spirit. It's like the Holy Spirit comes down and lifts us up into relationship with the Father and the Son. And he makes us part of this eternal relationship. There is no spiritual life without the Holy Spirit. It's just the core of who we are. And so that's why he says it's so important we have the Holy Spirit. But again, when you are baptized and you're confirmed, you got the Holy Spirit.
There we go.
But there it is. It's just kind of like sitting there. I like to use the analogy. It's, you have a glass of white milk there and you take some Hershey syrup made in Pennsylvania, you know, and you squeeze that Hershey syrup in there. And now you got like an inch of Hershey syrup in the bottom. You have white milk and you have chocolate. So that's like most people in their soul. They got the Holy Spirit when they were baptized or when they were confirmed, and it's sitting at the bottom. What do you got to do? Like St. Paul says to Timothy, you got to stir it up. Yeah. So we got the Holy Spirit, all of us, but we got to stir it up and surrender to the Spirit that he can take full control of our life.
I mean, this is the point of the series we're trying to do here, because we know There's a billion Catholics in the world or more, right?
Wow.
We know they've all
that
been
many.
Yeah, That's they've
good.
Been baptized,
yeah,
right? So they've been given the life of God, but
sure.
But we're not having the impact. We're not engaging the culture. We're not advancing the kingdom with the kind of dynamism and power that we see in the gospel. Some people are, but the vast majority are not.
Absolutely.
And it's precisely because the Spirit of God is not yet awakened in them fully.
Absolutely.
Right?
I 1,000% agree that everywhere I go, people are just kind of sitting with the Spirit of God inside of them. And the biggest thing out of it, you got to stir them up. You got to surrender. And so hopefully that's what we're going to do with the people that are watching this, that they are going to really say, this is what God wants of me. It's the will of God that I be surrendered to God's Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to do that, and I'm open to that.
Jesus saying, you shall receive power. You are clothed with power. And the question is that really, can the listeners and others, can you affirm that in your own life? Can you say, yeah, I've experienced power
Absolutely.
That's produced change in my life. Is it real or not?
Absolutely. It must be real. Again, I always think the best way a priest, even for priests and religious, the way they can really have good preaching is when they have anointed preaching. That means the Holy Spirit takes over and he speaks through them in the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's for everybody. You know, a long time ago, Wesley says, what happens to me is the Holy Spirit sets me on fire and people come to watch me burn. Yeah. Well, that got to be with every follower of Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit sets you on fire and people watch you burn with the love of God.
Yeah, today, you know, we hear the saying, you're the light of the world.
Yes.
You're the salt of the earth. And say, what's the light? A lot of people feel like, I don't see myself as much of a light. I'm stumbling and bumbling
exactly.
along. I don't know. What is that? Well, the light is the life of the Spirit in you.
Absolutely.
And it's not something you got to do, you got to create,
no,
you got to make.
You got to surrender.
Absolutely. You got to accept in faith the reality of what God has done, given you his Spirit, and then walk and listen every day to the Spirit and let the Lord produce a light in you, produce
Absolutely.
His life in you.
It's all him. It's not us. That's yeah. what the Spirit reminds us. This is his work inside of us.
Good stuff, Father.
Good
You're
stuff.
You're rocking. Good working with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, nice working with
here.
You.
Stay with us. We're going to be back in just a minute for some time in the red zone.
Welcome back, guys. You're probably wondering, where's Brian and Curtis? Well, Brian's now with News Nightly, and Curtis, we gave him some time off. He just added another child to the family.
Nice.
Michael, another boy. So, Father Larry, Pete, I'm gonna tell you this guy, the first
Character.
Time I saw him 10 years ago, I said, who is this crazy priest?
Never heard a priest.
And I thought, who is this crazy guy? He sure is no saint.
Yeah.
But still.
Hey, guys, we're in the red zone. Let's do this passage here, Romans 8:9. It says, but you are not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God really dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Mm. Now, we've been talking about the Spirit of God prophetically and how he came upon the apostles and all this technical stuff. But personally, we need to experience the Holy Spirit in our life personally. Father Larry, when did you really, did you have a personal experience? Can you remember?
No, I'm still waiting.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Yeah. Well, I would say, I'm a lifer, so I entered seminary at 17, and I remember when we were in college seminary, one of the guys were going to have a Life in the Spirit seminar. And he come and he says, hey, Larry, come on, let's do a Life in the Spirit seminar. And I says to him, no, that's not my prayer style. You know, I'm a quiet person, my prayer style. And so I start walking away, and he goes, oh, I thought you were going to be ordained for everybody's prayer style, not just your prayer style. Oh, you miserable. So
yeah.
I said, okay, I'm open to anything. Okay, so I went to Life in the Spirit seminar, and it was a powerful thing. And then when the praying and the outpouring of the Spirit in my own life, it really took hold. And I'll never forget what happened. Two things happened when that happened. Was I had a greater love for prayer, that it was more relational instead of ritual.
Yeah.
And two, I had a great love for the Word of God.
Yeah.
So every day it was just immersed in God's word and letting it transform me and take hold of me. And that was really when I was still in seminary, and that was really what kept me going throughout all the, my whole priesthood in that, is all the Holy Spirit, and from that moment on.
You said you started reading the scripture more. Now, you already were in the seminary.
Absolutely.
At that point, scripture was not a daily part.
It was something we studied.
Yeah.
It wasn't something, an encounter with the living God.
Okay, why would the Holy Spirit make that change in you? Receiving more of the Holy Spirit,
absolutely.
Why all of a sudden did you have a hunger for the Word of God?
Only the Spirit of God can reveal to you the Word of God. If not, you approach it with your head.
Like a history course.
Exactly. Yeah. When you approach it with the Spirit, it's transforming and anointed, and it's heart to heart.
Yeah.
Then it can get into your heart and take control and change you. And that's exactly what happened. And that's why to this very day, no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. Always go to the Word of God. Pray the Holy Spirit first and let the Holy Spirit take you.
You know, it's amazing. Good. I can remember to the date when the Holy Spirit came upon me. It was December the 15th, 1981. 1807.
Shortly after Moses. There was Moses, then there was Danny.
You know, that was a good cat. I followed along, but I never paid attention to the Holy Spirit. You know, I received in baptism and confirmation,
sure.
But like you said, it went down to chocolate milk. It was deep chocolate milk.
Yeah.
So, but
you know, hold the bottom of your
and
cup.
And I was back hitting that sauce pretty good.
Mm.
But I knew that the Spirit was knocking at the door. Danny, that's not right. Danny, that's not right. Didn't pay attention. I woke up this particular morning, and I knew that I had come. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Mm.
And I said, Lord, please help me. And from that moment, it wasn't a burning bush experience, but I knew I could sense the Spirit, and He started directing my life. And He directed me first to AA. We were thinking some kind of a spiritual awakening.
Sure.
He knew that I needed to take care of what I was doing, drinking too much first, or He can't work in my life. You know, what about you, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about when I can remember times when I was a kid and I'd be at Mass. I mean, my whole family would have to go. My mom and dad would take us all. I remember a couple times at Mass, for some reason, I was tuned in on a particular day. And I remember just thinking, seeing Jesus on a crucifix, on a cross. And I remember one day, it touched me so much, I just started crying at Mass. I was a junior high kid, you know? And I know that was the Holy Spirit. And I was crying because I felt God's love, you know? But I didn't pay much attention outside of that experience. I didn't connect it to anything. And I didn't put Him in the driver's seat.
Right.
I didn't give Him the keys. And that didn't happen until I was 20 years old in 1978 at the University of Notre Dame. I mean, it was a hot August afternoon at a big stadium full of a lot of different people. And I was crying out in my heart during Mass, actually, to say, okay, Lord, I see all these people around me. I've heard these speakers, you know, Father Mike Scanlon, Ralph Martin, these people. These guys are the real deal. And they know you at a level I don't know you. And they're committed to you at a level that I'm not.
Mm.
And I'm not sure I can do it. I'm not sure I can keep the promises. I'm not sure I can live that way, but I want to. And I just need your help.
Yeah.
And so I go to communion and I go back to my seat and I'm just standing there praying, literally in my heart. I'm just begging the Lord, you know, please give me the love and the faith that these people have. No joke. 2 minutes later, a guy comes, taps me on the shoulder. People are all going to communion. And he turns around and looks at my name tag, and he was older than me. He said, son, I'm sitting back here getting ready to go to communion. And I'm just seeing people ahead of me in line, and my eyes fell on you. When they fell on you, the Holy Spirit came on me and wants me to come and tell you, son, that the love and faith that you seek shall be granted to you because Jesus Christ died for you and He loves you and He's here and He knows you. I mean, just like that, just like that. And then from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I just felt the love of God pouring in me. And I grabbed this guy. I grabbed this guy, total stranger, and I'm crying and snotting all over his shirt and everything else.
That's the Spirit moving.
But the point is, here's a guy. He was just a blue collar guy from Indianapolis, Indiana. Okay,
that's called new evangelization.
He's living with the Holy Spirit, and this is how real the Holy Spirit is. That was my literal prayer, and this guy spoke the words that were in my heart. It totally it rocked my world.
You mentioned something in the game plan was pretty interesting, and I had been thinking about this for quite some time. Is when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it changes your whole perspective of the Father and the Son, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. It brings you into relationship.
Yes.
And when you enter in a relationship, you know that when we can cry out, Abba, think about in your own prayer. Do you just say a bunch of prayers? Or do when you pray, do you go and say, Abba, Daddy, Papa?
Yeah.
And you enter into relationship with Almighty God. And I think that's what the Spirit, I know that's what the Spirit does. He brings us into this deeper relationship that I know. Oh, God.
So you're right, because, you know, I knew who Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Him personally.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started walking in the Spirit and was directed by lay people.
Oh, yeah.
To a seminar.
What are you saying?
I know.
Yeah, anyway,
well, the priest was there,
but
lay
course,
people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they talked about, where is Jesus Christ in your life? Mm. I'll never forget. He says, is he outside? Or is he in the center
exactly.
of your heart? The center of my heart was my ego and something else. It wasn't him.
Sure.
But once I made a commitment, I said, you know, I have to make Jesus Christ number one in my life. Once I did that, really things really start changing in my life. You're
Absolutely.
Talking about into the Word. I was in college, I had to take 12 hours of theology and get into the Word. It was just, I needed to get a good grade
exactly.
out of this period.
Absolutely.
But then I meditated on the Word.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
I mean.
Now, for a lot of guys, the idea of listening to the Holy Spirit is something entirely new.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you say, how does knowing the Holy Spirit change your life on a daily basis? You know, if you're praying, what am I looking for, Father? For an emotion? Is it an emotion that needs to get stirred up in prayer? Or what is it? How do you know?
Remember the teaching of church, who made me? God made me. Why did God make me? He made me to know him, to love him and serve him. Well, how do I come to know God? It says in Psalm 46, verse 10 or 11, it says, be still. And so I think in our daily life, when we're still in our prayer, then we're letting the Spirit take over. We try to control even our prayer life. And if we're in control of our prayer life, the wrong person's in control. God needs to be in control of our prayer life. And that happens when I give him the power of the Holy Spirit and I surrender him. You take control of my prayer life now. So you need to listen. And and if you can't do that with your own head, then you do it with the Word of God. Because God will speak to you. Yeah. Every time you go to the Word of God, I promise you, and you pray the Holy Spirit and you say, speak to my heart your word, he always will. This isn't we're not following a dead God of 2,000 years ago. We're following a living God who's present in the...
Right.
In the
but you said something very key in this, that you have to quiet yourself, not only outside here, interiorly. He doesn't speak to your ear. He comes and speaks to your heart. You have to open the door to your heart and allow him in. But you can't have computers and iPads and all this stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. But we've gone crazy. I live in a building. These young people walk around. They don't communicate. There's noise, there's sounds, there's everything. If you look at a lot of people out here, when they wake up in the morning, first thing, computer on, TV on, newspaper.
Ain't just young people. Old people do that now, too.
I'm talking about all kind of people.
Sure.
So how are we getting the Spirit to talk to us? We're not.
Exactly.
We're doing all the talking. We're not listening, like you said, to the Spirit.
Yeah, and we're not searching for a vague feeling or emotion.
No.
Or
God has nothing to do with feelings,
or something like that.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so it's so great to see how the Lord's led our conversation here about the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the Holy Spirit who wrote this word
exactly.
with words of men, right?
Absolutely.
The men, and this is a personal love letter to us, a personal letter, God wanting to speak to us. And it's the Spirit that makes it come alive. And the Scripture says very clearly that you can't, it's the Spirit of God that knows the heart of God. It's the Holy Spirit that knows the heart
Absolutely.
Of God. It's the Spirit that knows your heart. And so if we're just in faith, we say, look, I know I've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And I begin that prayer in the morning. I say, come Holy Spirit. Help me. And so I read the Word of God and I ask the Holy Spirit to help this Word come
Absolutely.
Alive. And it does, and it changes us.
We don't have much time left in this segment. What I was wanting to ask you guys, the guys out there listening and watching, how do they grow in the Spirit? Let's give them a few tips before we start.
I think the first thing is just have a committed daily prayer time and you start praying to the Holy Spirit and whatever it is. When John Paul II was a boy, his father gave him a prayer of surrender to the Holy Spirit and he says, you pray this prayer every day. And John Paul, all the days of his life, prayed a prayer of surrender to the Holy Spirit. John Paul changed our world more than any other man.
Right.
And I think the reason he did that was because of that. So if you don't have a prayer of the Holy Spirit, get one and pray it every day. It can do unbelievable things for you.
I think just giving the Holy Spirit permission and to say, Holy Spirit, I know you've called me not only to pray daily, but to live in mission every day. That you're with me every day. I'm going to practice your presence throughout the day, pause various times a day, and just remember the Lord's presence. Say, you know, Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, thank me. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. So you just live with a consciousness that the Holy Spirit's present.
If We're going to close here in a second. Mm-hmm. Can you give one action item to the guys out there that you would recommend for the week?
Action item I would do is, like I already talked about, that you get a prayer to the Holy Spirit. Cardinal Mercier has a great prayer. Oh, Holy Spirit, beloved of my soul, I adore you. I say that every single morning of my life. And that you just stay with one prayer. Can be the come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people. And you just say, start saying that prayer every day. And you watch what God's going to do with you.
Good, Father. Hey guys, that's the show for this week. Join us next week, episode 2, Spirit of the Truth. Now, let's finish, Father, with the Spirit of the Living God.
Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on us. Now